America Looks Abroad. This is the 37th in a series of broadcasts presented by the staff members of the Foreign Policy Association. Mr. John I. B. McCullough, Latin American expert of the association, will speak to you from Havana, where he is attending the Inter-American Conference. We take you now to Havana.
Good afternoon. For exactly 1 week, representatives of the 21 American republics have been in conference in the city of Havana. During that time, some 45 individual projects have been brought forward and discussed. Today, in committee meetings, a final agreement is being worked out on many important points. Tomorrow, a private session of all the delegates will be held. And on Tuesday, the conference will conclude its work with a public session. Not until then will a definitive judgment on the results of this historic meeting be possible. Already, however, the major trends of the conference are apparent. The one problem which has created more discussion than any other at Havana has had to do with European colonies in the Western Hemisphere. Here, two dangers confront the American Republic. The first is that the possessions of France, Holland, and Great Britain should come under the control of Germany as a result of military conquest. A second possibility is more difficult to combat, and therefore more to be feared. This is that the colonies should remain in the hands of their present owners, but that the French, Dutch, and British governments themselves should come so completely under German domination that German control would be indirectly extended to this hemisphere. These possibilities are perfectly clear to the statesmen who are now assembled in Havana. In working out a practical solution, however, certain difficulties arose. If the American republics were to attempt to eliminate all European control over these colonies, what would they set up in its place? Should the colonies be given an independent status? Or should they be annexed by various of the American republics, presumably in each case by the nation nearest at hand? Or, finally, should a joint trusteeship of all the American republics be established? Here at Havana, there has been considerable sentiment in favor of this latter course. One practical way of making this possible has been suggested. A joint protectorate would be established, but the actual work of administration would be left to a group of, let us say, three of the republics chosen by the others to represent them. It is understood that the United States delegation has favored some arrangement along these general lines. Unfortunately, other difficulties are involved. A further question arises. Should some definite arrangement be made at the present time so that action can be taken immediately in case of emergency? Or should a new consultation be called for when and if a crisis actually appears? Apparently, the Argentine delegation has been backing the latter point of view. The Argentines reason in this manner. No one can tell what is going to happen, and there is no point in devising tentative solutions to hypothetical issues. Moreover, the Argentines have maintained that the inhabitants of these colonies should be consulted before their fate is decided. During the last few days, prominent members of the conference have been working overtime, trying to find some way of reconciling this Argentine point of view with other proposals dealing with the same subject. The United States, Brazil, and Cuba all put forward specific plans for dealing with the colony question. These three proposals, it seems, did not differ very widely. Thus, the chief difficulty has been in fitting the Argentine suggestion into the general picture. Late last night, it appears, a mutually satisfactory agreement on the colony question was finally reached, and the general lines of the convention were approved. This will be given definite form today and will be accompanied by a resolution and a declaration on the same subject. Now, if this result is actually achieved, it will go far toward disproving those critics who have consistently been predicting that the conference would eventually be wrecked as a result of Argentina's refusal to cooperate. So far, despite these gloomy predictions and mournful commentaries, There is no conclusive evidence that Argentina has been attempting to sabotage the treaty. Very naturally, she has her own point of view. The United States delegation is the first to recognize that Argentina's close economic ties with Europe and the remoteness geographically from North America give her a peculiar position and peculiar problems. At all recent Pan-American conferences, the United States has made a special effort to win Argentine support, even if necessary, at the cost of modifying the North American point of view on certain particulars. To Mr. Hull, the important thing is a unified Pan-American front. Thus far, economic matters have not created as much of a stir at Havana as have political topics. The chief economic story of the past week, so far as inter-American affairs are concerned, originated not in the Cuban capital, but in Washington. This was to the effect that the United States government planned to ask for new facilities for the Export-Import Bank. The bank could extend credit up to $500 million, and certain former restrictions on loans would be removed. Thus, the United States government would be in a position to help the Latin American republics more effectively in passing through a period which has brought economic worries to every one of them. Meanwhile, at Havana, the subcommittee which deals with economic matters has been hard at work behind closed doors. In a public address delivered by Secretary Hull last Monday, the Secretary of State outlined a program for immediate action on the economic front. He urged that greater power be given to the Inter-American Financial and Economic Advisory Committee, which conducts its meetings in Washington. He advocated the development of commodity agreements. Very significantly, he suggested that facilities be created for the temporary handling and the orderly marketing of the surplus products of the American Republic. Here, in essence, is the idea behind the so-called cartel plan, which received so much attention when it was broached a few weeks ago. According to this scheme, the surplus products of the Americas would be pooled and disposed of on the best possible terms, the idea being, of course, to prevent complete economic dictation from a Europe dominated by Germany. Finally, Mr. Hull referred to the desirability of raising the standard of living throughout the Americas, and to the possibility that some of these surplus products might be distributed for relief purposes. That was on Monday. Subsequently, Mr. Burley, Assistant Secretary of State, made a formal proposal to the Economic Subcommittee of the conference. The text of this proposal has not been made public, but presumably it will follow along the lines indicated by Mr. Hull. Several other republics have made economic proposals or, as in the case of Cuba, suggested modifications in the Burley plan. Today, the Economic Committee is completing its labor. Doubtless, the project finally adopted will contain elements taken from several different proposals. It is probable that any agreement reached at Havana will be of a general nature, and that the Inter-American Financial Committee will be asked to work out the details later on. Furthermore, it is probable that the temporary nature of these arrangements will be stressed. They are designed to meet certain immediate problems on an emergency basis. Another problem which has received special attention at Havana is that of fifth column activity. Several countries put forward proposals on this matter. The United States, for example, went on record as opposing activities from a non-American source tending to endanger American institutions, or to establish a form of government which the American nations do not accept or recognize. Specifically, the United States proposed a close control over foreign missions and agencies in this hemisphere. The Republic of Uruguay, which, as you will recall, conducted an investigation of Nazi activities not so long ago, proposed a regulation whereby members of diplomatic or consular missions could not belong to a political organization or party. According to latest report, the Neutrality Subcommittee of the conference has approved a resolution urging several points: exchange of information, concerted action should the sovereignty of an American republic be threatened, and the restriction of diplomatic privileges and immunity. The range of subject matter which has been treated at Havana is enormous. For example, the Bolivian delegate introduced a proposal for financing a 4,000-kilometer railway from Santos in Brazil to Arica in Chile, presumably on the theory that such a railway, which incidentally passes through Bolivia, would be useful for defense purposes. The head of the Chilean delegation, who is also a socialist member of the Chilean cabinet, has urged the American government to nationalize certain concerns, especially in the public utility field, which belong to non-American powers that operate in the Western Hemisphere. Such a principle, one supposes, could be invoked to speed the nationalization of airlines owned or controlled by Europeans. Mexico has proposed an inter-American committee to take care of political refugees, and a number of similar proposals on a variety of topics have been introduced in the course of the negotiations. At earlier conferences of the American republics, a major topic of discussion was the creation of machinery for avoiding disputes among the American powers themselves. So completely has the situation altered since the war began that in the last two conferences, at Panama and at Havana, this topic has been more or less of secondary importance. Nevertheless, at least one project has been presented in the course of the present meeting designed to forestall inter-American squabbles. This proposal was put forward by the Haitian delegation. Meanwhile, the representatives of Ecuador and Peru in the present conference have both intimated in public statements that they are willing to have another go at settling their boundary problem. This is possibly the most important boundary dispute which now exists between any two American republics. You will all of you recall that at the Panama conference last autumn, the most sensational topic of discussion was the 300-mile neutrality zone. One of the committees here at Havana has been considering the further implementation of this zone, and a project has been actually advanced for extending the limit of American territorial waters from 3 miles to 25 miles. Presumably, this project will now be handed on to a committee for the codification of international law. To date, however, the problem of the neutrality zone, once so celebrated, has not been headline news at Havana. The reason is perfectly obvious. The international situation has changed almost completely since last October. Apparently, the original sponsors of the zone idea hope to use this new and challenging declaration as a protection against German submarines. Now, actually, the greatest offenders against the neutrality belt have been the British, and the majority of the protests made by the American government have been addressed not to Berlin, but to London. Since sentiment in the American republics is and has been largely pro-ally, the statesmen of the American republics have been forced into something of an embarrassing position. For the most part, they are content to soft-pedal the whole conception of the neutrality zone. In a sense, this example illustrates the fundamental difficulty which the present conference faces. Due to the enormous uncertainty of the European situation, any decision which is adopted now has a certain character of hit or miss. This fact in itself helps to explain the somewhat cautious attitude assumed by certain delegations. Probably the most that can be expected at Havana, in a great number of cases at least, is an agreement on general principles and a decision to leave further details to smaller Pan-American entities which have more time at their disposal and which are in a position to function without the constant flash of photographers' bulbs. Fortunately, the Panama Conference created two such groups: the Neutrality Committee, which meets in Rio, and the Financial and Economic Advisory Committee, which holds its sessions in Washington, and which, as you will recall, started the procedure which has culminated in the creation of the Inter-American Bank.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Mr. John I.B. McCullough, who spoke to you direct from Havana. And if you would like a free copy of this talk, send your request to the Foreign Policy Association, number 8, West 40th Street, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.